It's the Veterans Radio Hour. Brought to you by Dallas Corporation for all your corporate printing needs. And by GIM Productions, creating internet solutions. Websites can do that. Now, stay tuned. The Veterans Radio Hour is next on the IRN and the Veterans Radio Network.
Tango Charlie Bravo, you're a go for the Veterans Hour.
So your company has a website. We are all familiar with how the web can be used to showcase information. But did you know the web can also be used as a medium to actually do something to help your business? GIM Productions delivers custom web-based technology and applications to meet the needs of your company. We have the experience and the expertise to deliver web applications, e-commerce solutions, and interactive multimedia. GIM Productions can help you in making difficult technology decisions. We work to make web technology work for your company, and we will be there along the way to support you as you grow. Our comprehensive team includes talented programmers, software developers, graphic designers, and network specialists that strive to bring you the best. Contact us at our toll-free number 1-887-256-6914 or email us at info@gimproductions.com. Websites can do that.
Welcome, one and all, to the Veterans Radio Hour. It's our tribute to all of those who served our great nation's armed forces, past and present, and their tremendous accounts of heroic duty and bravery. With your host, Brigadier General Dave Grange. And now, coming to you live from our Veterans Center studio, here is General Dave.
And good evening. General Dave cannot be with us tonight. He's out on TDY once again, and I'm glad you're here with us at the VeteransRadioHour.com for those of you that are listening in on the web, and also some of our new stations that have joined on, WYEA 1290 AM in Alabama, WACE 730 AM in Massachusetts. I'll tell you about a few more stations that are coming live with us. And now I want to tell you that tonight's show, Veterans Who Write About the Service. We're going to have some authors here at the table with us, as well as calling in. And we're going to be able to talk a little bit about just exactly what it's like to be an author writing about the military and what some of their books are all about. Call in at 866-928-2329. Kennedy Camp sitting in for Dave Grange. I think now it's time to give our dedication of tonight's show. I'm going to bring in Jeff Circle, our author, who's going to help us out.
Thank you, Kenny. Tonight's show dedication is dedicated to the great American and historian Stephen E. Ambrose. Stephen E. Ambrose understood the importance of military history and took action to present it to the public in practical ways that dwarfed the attempts of all other writers. He took on his subject matter with full force, and while spending a summer in France, he climbed Pont de Haut like a soldier on D-Day, trying to get the physical feeling of the climb. Stephen E. Ambrose died of lung cancer on October 13th of last year. He was 66.
Here is today's military quote of the day, brought to you by support from retired Lieutenant Commander Adrian Rubenkowski.
And I thank the Lieutenant Commander for her support. This quote today is coming from David Morrell, the author of First Blood. For those of you who remember that book as well as that movie, it was the one that created Rambo. And here, because of the authors we have tonight, we thought we'd be able to read one from another author. He wrote, "Writers write. It's that basic. If you just got off an assembly line in Detroit, and you're certain you have a great American novel inside you, don't just grab a beer and sit in front of the television."
You're listening to the Veterans Hour with retired Brigadier General Dave Grange. And now, back to the broadcast.
And I'm glad you're all with us, because you must not be in front of a television. You're here with us. Whether you have a beer or a glass of wine, that's nice too. You're joining us tonight for Veterans Who Write About the Service. Our guest tonight sitting at the table with me is Jeff Circle. He was with U.S. Army Intelligence during the Gulf War in 90 and 91. I know he spent some time in Korea, too, because I think he's starting to scribble some notes about that one. His book that's just about to come out, and I know the one that I've read, the draft of it, or what's it, it's called, something special, right?
A galley.
A galley. The galley I read, and I know Dave Grange read as well, and Bob Barker, and quite a few other people, is titled, Yes, Drill Sergeant, How I Survived Basic Training. And it's a perfect, nice lead-in book for us to deal with, because besides that that book, we're going to bring on the phone with us also Raquel Thebes. She was with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, but also ended up commanding a basic training unit at Fort Leavenworth, Missouri. And her book, quite unique in how we were able to tie it in with Jeff, is Army Basic Training, Be Smart, Be Ready. And she wrote it after she had a tour in Germany and was able to then go on to Fort Leavenworth. I'm going to ask Jeff right off the bat. Jeff, come on and tell us, what made you decide to write basic training?
Well, just like your quote of the day from David Morrell, he talks about people writing because they want to write. And it came down to, I wanted to be a writer, and it came down to what in the world was I going to write about? And everyone says, everyone from Stephen King to David Morrell says, write about what you know. And the best thing that I could pull out of my head was my 5 years' experience in the Army. And the most traumatic time during that 5 years was basic training.
Uh-huh. And Raquel, you're there with us now?
Yes, I sure am.
Well, good evening to you.
Hi, how are you?
And you're calling in from where, Raquel?
Actually, beautiful Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Very nice. You wrote this Army basic training book, too, I guess probably because you were a commander in a basic training unit?
Yes. I was right in the middle of it.
And what inspired you that you thought people should know? I guess the book came out in 2001.
Yes.
And it said, be smart, be ready. What were they to be smart and be ready about?
Well, basically, when I was in that basic training environment, I just saw too many soldiers who were sent home who I really feel would have been successful had they been mentally and physically prepared and knew what to expect.
And have you had any reaction from basic trainees on your book?
Yes, actually, I get so much email every day, I just can't keep up with it, and I have a website with a message board, and sometimes it's really hard to keep up.
Where, out in Colorado Springs, are you near the Air Force Academy?
Yes, yeah. Right down the street, yeah.
Oh, down, so you're passing books out?
Yeah, right at the front gate, yeah.
Very, very good. Is this your first book?
Yes, this is my first book, yes.
Mm-hmm. And Jeff, what about you? Is this your first? This
will be my first book.
As well. And, okay, we're going to be coming back to you in a few minutes. We want to thank everybody for tuning in with us, especially some of our new stations, WMQM 1600 AM in Tennessee, KTRW 970 AM in Spokane, Washington. And we're going to be asking some of you to call in. We're going to give a savings bond away. We'll be back after these messages.
Stay tuned. The Veterans Radio Show will continue on the Veterans Radio Network.
You're listening to the Veterans Radio Hour. I would like to make everyone aware of the fact that beginning next week, we will be a two-hour show rather than 1 hour. We'll be coming on at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time until 10 p.m. So if you like our one-hour show, I think you're going to like the two-hour show twice as much. For those who are new to the Veterans Radio Hour, I'll just very briefly tell you what it is. It's a unique theme-based talk show by, for, and about veterans. You can join General Dave Grange each week here for a lively and informative roundtable discussion featuring distinguished military and civilian guests. Topics include everything from historical events to contemporary issues of interest to veterans and active service personnel alike. On this evening's show, we are devoting the show to veterans who write about the service. We have five wonderful guests, one with us in the studio here, the rest being spoken with and being interviewed via phone. Jeff Circle is with us. We have James Amos Jr., Raquel Thebes, Barry McWilliams, and also James W. Blinn. So stay with us for the Veterans Radio Hour.
the Veterans Radio Show is clear for a landing. Let's resume our broadcast from the Veterans Center Studio.
The Veterans Hour proudly presents our military hero's story of valor.
This week, our hero of valor is not really a military person, although he did serve time in the Naval Reserve. This is a story about Ernie Pyle, who was a prize-winning journalist who actually left the newspaper to become a war correspondent. He covered the war in Europe from a unique perspective, and from an ordinary guy working in extraordinary circumstances, his columns about Kasserine Pass, Omaha Beach, and the fighting in Sicily and Anzio became the talk of America. During one of his assignments, Ernie was wounded by German bomb fragments, but was not awarded a Purple Heart because of his civilian status. But he longed to be beside soldiers who were still fighting. He loved the dog face. He loved the person, the man in the foxhole. He left for the Pacific Theater. Ernie returned to duty to cover the battlefront in a way that is absent from today's war reporting. It was at Okinawa when his luck finally ran out when a Japanese sniper fired a fatal shot. Just before he was struck, Ernie turned to his friends and said, "Are you all right?" Coming only 6 days after the death of Franklin Roosevelt, the news of Ernie's death was a double blow to all Americans. The Army and Navy Journal called Ernie the Seeing Eye Reporter.
The Seeing Eye Reporter. Thank you, Tom. We're going to go back to, we wanted to have Ernie because he just was one of those guys who was writing. I don't know, Raquel and Jeff coming back. Raquel's the author of Army Basic Training, Be Smart, Be Ready, and Jeff wrote the book, Yes, Drill Sergeant, soon to be released this year. Who inspired you, Jeff?
One of my favorite authors of all time is James Michener. I was on a plane one time and I read a small book from him, one of his few small ones, and I absolutely loved it. And from then on out, I just started reading everything he wrote. His writing was so detailed and his research was just phenomenal, uncomparable. And that helped me when I wrote my book, all the research that went into it, and helping to explain to people exactly how you feel in certain situations, a little bit like what Michener did.
And how did you research your book?
My research was very specific, and it's funny because I have a horrible memory. When it comes back to thinking about Desert Storm and my year in Korea, and especially basic training, that 8 weeks was so traumatic to me, I really couldn't recall a lot of it specifically until my memory was jogged by a yearbook that I actually had given to me by graduation. And flipping through those pages and seeing all those pictures and the accounts of each different phase of basic training really reminded me of, oh yeah, we did that. We did gas training in the gas chamber. We did BRM training with M16s, and we threw grenades, and it all just started coming back like it was yesterday.
And with you, Raquel, did you do some intensive research for yours?
Well, for me, it was a little bit easier. I mean, I was right in the middle of it. I interviewed thousands of recruits and graduates, and they were pretty honest with me and their basic training experience. And, of course, I had the drill sergeants there. I talked to anyone who would talk to me about it, and I just collected information that whole time I was there.
And is there any authors that you specifically recognize or work along with?
Well, I just read such a wide variety of different things, so I wouldn't say that there was really one author. The big inspiration for me was my father. He always told me, write about something you believe in and that you're passionate about.
Yeah, that goes back to what I was saying, Raquel. You're exactly right. So many great authors have always said, write about what you know. And
yeah.
Something from one of David Morrell's nonfiction books, it's called Lessons from a Lifetime of Writing, mm-hmm. says that exact same thing. And Stephen King says it in his book On Writing,
yeah.
Memoir of a Craft, just like your dad says, you're right on target there.
Yeah.
So would both of your books probably be inspirational for other GIs, other soldiers to start writing now, during, and then after?
Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm not sure. you threw me off, Raquel. I thought you were going to say something.
Okay. Well, I would think, you know, if you've got the idea in your head, I mean, you need to start writing. Because, like you said, Jeff, you forget things. And you know, that's the best way to approach it. And especially these days with, you can go either the traditional publishing route or you can self-publish something called print on demand, where the copies are made as the demand is there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's low cost and it's a great way to go. That's the way I went with my book.
You self-published then?
Yes, I sure did.
Uh-huh. You're listening to the Veterans Radio Hour, and you can dial in at 866-928-2329, especially if you're from one of our New York stations, WASB 1590 AM, WRSB 1310 AM, or WMJR 105.5 FM in the New York state. And if any one of those stations who I've read off tonight, the third person to call in tonight at 866-928-2329, the Veterans Radio Hour would like to give you a $50 U.S. savings bond. So we'll support a little bit of the U.S. savings bond group if you call in for us as well. Jeff, are you working on another book?
Yeah, actually, this one isn't out yet, but hopefully real soon it will be. I've started on a follow-up book to this, just like the quote of the week said, you know, writers write, and that's what they do. And my next story is about my year I spent in Korea in 1988. As a soldier there, I got to see the Olympics and a whole host of other things that took up a year of my experience, and it's going to be another good humor book full of a lot of funny things that went on in Korea during that year.
On your drill sergeant book, it is a little humorous, isn't it?
It's sarcastic. it's been called a lot of things, actually. Shrewd, and some people have called it really funny. That was my whole intent. When I did a lot of reading myself, just like Raquel's reading is really wide. One of my favorite humor writers is David Sedaris. Another one is Dave Barry. Other people like James Michener, you put all those different writing styles together and you get a unique voice. And you put in an interesting subject matter like the military, as popular as it is right now, and a personal experience. Everyone wants to hear about someone's personal experience in such a hot topic. Put that together, and I came up with this humor book.
Mm-hmm. And Raquel, I guess somebody could laugh with your book too, or is it pretty straight, hard, forward?
Well, it is pretty straightforward. But I do have a lot of trainees' comments in there, and they really write from the heart, and sometimes it is a little funny. But, they're telling the truth. It's, like I said, straight from the heart.
And
so that's kind of nice.
As someone who's already self-published, did a larger publishing company pick you up, or are you still just doing it strictly on your own?
Actually, I'm very happy with doing it on my own. You have more control over the publishing process. You generally get more royalties. You keep the rights to your book. You're not bogged down by just that one publisher. You can do whatever you want with your book. As I said, the copies are made as per the demand, so you don't have a limited print run like you would with a traditional publisher. So all those things kind of appeal to me.
And which book are you working on another one now?
Well, actually, my other passion is genealogy. So I'm working on a book in that arena now also.
And that's genealogy for your own family or for other people?
Well, actually,
as well?
It's for a small town in Mississippi.
Okay.
So not just my family, yeah. Totally different direction.
Yes, on the chance that there might be some people either listening tonight or that might download and listen on the stream, about how much time and about how much money, just ballpark for each. You don't have to give away the exact amounts, but did it cost you in the effort for this book?
You mean, you're talking to me now?
Yes, Raquel.
Oh, okay. I went through a publisher called Ex Libris, and I know there are a lot of other companies out there that do it now, but you want to look for a print-on-demand publisher. And really, the startup was only, my God, maybe around $400.
And that gave you how many books off the bat?
Well, that's just it.
That's the setup?
They get printed as the demand is out there. So they do all the work for you as far as they get the ISBN number, register it with the Library of Congress, copyrights. They do all the legwork, and then your book is available at any bookseller. I mean, someone can go down to the local store and go order your book there, or you can go online, and it's available worldwide. I mean, I've had people write me from Hong Kong, Australia, Great Britain, who bought it there.
Raquel, would you have any advice for anyone who might be thinking about this? Because there are writers in all of us. Any pitfalls that you would avoid having gone through it a second time?
Well, they just need to really decide. We already went through some basics. You really need to write about something you believe in. You need to bring something new to the topic. I mean, don't rehash something that's been done many times before. For example, if there are 20 books on Battle of the Bulge, you need to bring something new to the table, or else you're just wasting your time. You have to be prepared to aggressively market your book. If no one knows about it, then no one's going to read it.
Would you have anything to say about going the traditional route, or are you considering that for your follow-up book at all?
You know, I really like the self-publishing route, particularly the print on demand. I mean, they didn't have that a few years ago. I mean, this is something new, I guess, with technology and the internet and all that. So my publisher, for example, has quite a few accomplished authors who have gone the traditional route in the past, and they've decided they like this better.
Very good. You're listening to the VeteransRadioHour.com. This is our 26th program. We're also going over the Information Radio Network. I'd also like to recognize Military.com, saluting all who answer the call to our nation's service. It is quite the very unique website that every person should check out, whether military or non-military affiliated. Also, I'd like to recognize the 1350foundation.org. March 4th, they're having their special A More Perfect Union program, honoring the rights and the responsibilities of citizenship. That's going to be in Chicago at the Union League Club. For those of you interested, that's the 1350foundation.org. And once again, a thanks to our City of Chicago Veterans Council and our good friend, the chairman, Roy Dolgas, for being once again in the studio with us. Also in the studio tonight, I want to thank Tom Jordanian. He's our good buddy. He shows up when he can, and we appreciate it. We'll be back after these words with a couple more authors to join on.
You're listening to the Veterans Radio Hour. We are here every Sunday evening, and as some of you may know, if you were listening to the last break, we will be starting next week with a two-hour show rather than the one-hour show. And as I said, if you have been enjoying our one-hour show, I think you're going to like the two-hour show twice as much. So be sure to tune in at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time next week rather than 9 p.m. Tonight's program is entitled Veterans Who Write About the Service. We're hearing some very, very fascinating information about writing a book and how one can self-publish oneself as opposed to going through a traditional publishing avenue. And I think any would-be writers out there, or perhaps even someone who may not have thought about writing previously but has a story in them or some important information that they would like to tell people about in the form of a book, I think that you can hear some very interesting and helpful information to you about how to self-publish that book bring it to the attention of the world. Because with the internet and all the magnificent communications media that we have today, I think it's a viable thing for anyone who wants to put forth the effort to be able to get out the information that he wants to spread. Our guests this evening include Jeff Circle, who is with us in the studio tonight. Jeff is the author of Yes, Drill Sergeant. Also, Raquel Thebes is with us on the phone. Raquel is the author of a self-published book called Army Basic Training, Be Smart, Be Ready. Publishing on demand is her avenue for distributing the book, which you can get through any bookseller. Barry McWilliams also is a guest on tonight's show. Barry is a cartoonist. His recent book, It Ain't Hell, But You Can See It From Here, is being compared with the work of the great Bill Malden. Also, James W. Blinn. Is with us. Mr. Blinn is the author of The Aardvark Is Ready for War. So these are our guests, and I think it's quite an interesting show tonight. General Dave Grange, the host of the program, is not with us this evening. He will be back next week, we're hoping. In the interim, our senior producer, Kenny DeCamp, is taking over the hosting duties. The Veterans Radio Hour is a unique theme-based talk show by, for, and about veterans. Join General Dave Grange here each week for a lively and informative roundtable discussion featuring distinguished military and civilian guests, such as the people we have this evening. Topics include everything from historical events to contemporary issues of interest to veterans and active personnel alike. You know, to read a book or to watch a movie about World War II or the Vietnam War is always interesting, but to hear an interview with an actual participant, such as recent special guest Colonel retired George Budd Day, the most highly decorated flyer in American history, and to have the opportunity to call in and talk with him is something else again. It's the stuff of which great radio is made. Stay with us.
Welcome back. The Veterans Radio Show now continues on the Veterans Radio Network.
The Veterans Radio Hour salutes the active service person of the week, made possible through the support of Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer. As they say, PBR me, ASAP. Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer, available at your local retail outlet.
The active service person of the week is Master Sergeant Rand Kunze with the Air Combat Command Contingency Action Team for the Director of Air Force Personnel at Langley Air Force Base. Master Sergeant Kunze is part of a 10-member team that is responsible for mobilization and demobilization orders for all United States Air Guard and Reserve forces. And if you haven't noticed, there are many units being called up these days in support of our current military buildup in the Middle East. Master Sergeant Kunze is actually at work right now for the third straight weekend in a row, and believe me, he's a busy guy.
You're tuned to the Veterans Radio Hour with retired General Dave Grange, coming to you from the Veterans Center Studio. And now, back to the show.
And welcome back. General Grange couldn't be with us tonight. He's TDY. This is Kenny DeCamp sitting in once again. I normally co-host with the General, usually off to the side, because he has so much more to say. And unfortunately, he couldn't be here tonight because we're dealing with our good authors. That's right, we're talking about veterans who write about the service. We've been talking with Raquel Thebes from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, commanded a basic training unit at Fort Leninwood, Missouri. And she wrote a book called Army Basic Training, Be Smart, Be Ready. Also, we were talking with Jeff Circle. He's was with U.S. Army Intelligence, Gulf War 90 and 91, as well as in Korea. He wrote a book, Yes, Drill Sergeant, How I Survived Basic Training. So we had a basic training unit to lead us into our next guest, James W. Blinn. He is a U.S. Navy anti-submarine warfare specialist in Pacific deployments. He also was on a big aircraft carrier, which is, I guess, what inspired him to write a book called The Aardvark is Ready for War, published in 1997. James Blinn, you there with us today?
Well, I sure am. It's a pleasure to be here.
Hi, thank you very much. And you're calling us from San Diego, I take it?
From San Diego, yeah, Fulton 6th Fleet.
Okay, must be nice and cold there tonight.
Oh, it's chilly. It's down to 67.
Okay, and we're here in Chicago, and I'm not telling you where we're at.
I know it's balmy there.
Balmy, yes, thank you. Now, I was able to look at your website since I unfortunately was not able to grab one of your books right away. The Aardvark is Ready for War. I had no idea what it could be all about until I understood what an actual aardvark is. Could you explain to our audience, tell us about an aardvark and how it's ready for war?
Well, in this case, the aardvark is the nickname of the protagonist of the book, and he is so named because of the gas mask that he wore on the aircraft carrier on his way to the Persian Gulf War. He had a little fetish about wearing his gas mask, and so his buds nicknamed him the Aardvark.
Fetish meaning that he was, like, obsessed?
He was a little obsessed, yeah. He was a little obsessed with death and gas and the exotic ways of dying, you know, like everybody kind of was during the Gulf War I, I guess we should call it now, in anticipation of Gulf War II.
Hey, Jay, did he actually sleep with it on?
Did he actually? Well, it's, he's a fictional character, so I can't tell you about his actualities. But he may have.
He may have.
He may have, and God knows what else he may have done wearing it.
Uh-oh. We've got a live studio audience in here, and a few of them are chuckling, so I guess it's good. I hear another one chuckling. We're going to bring on also Barry McWilliams. Now, Barry's from calling in from Miles City, Montana, and what I understand is that you're like standing outside somewhere on a mountain?
A hill.
A hill. They have hills in Montana.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Barry, what's the temperature out there?
Oh, at 27. It's compared to Chicago, it's probably pretty warm here.
Now, what I understand about you is you're a cartoonist and a writer. I see your book. It's called This Ain't Hell, But You Can See It. No, This Ain't Hell, But You Can See It From Here.
Yeah, Marine. Second Mar Div Marine over in Kuwait gave me that title. That's what he said. I asked him how the war went. He said, it ain't hell, but you can see it from here. And that was when the oil fires were burning. And, that was a pretty good description.
I would think so. And you yourself were in the service?
Oh, yeah. And it was, yeah, go ahead.
But you were not in the service during the Gulf, I understand.
No, I was a cartoonist in the Gulf, and I worked for about 350 newspapers, and I went over there to draw cartoons for my papers back home.
And I was told to ask you about your visa.
Jeff, what do you want to know about my visa?
Well, how was it that you were able to convince the Saudi embassy to let you go over there after the groundwork had already ended?
Oh, I tell you, it was like the American, system worked. The American system worked. You know, I wrote a letter to all my newspapers, 300 and some of them, and said, hey, I'm thinking that I ought to get closer to the action in the Gulf in order to be able to draw good cartoons. And so I'm going to try, and if you think I should, write me a letter. And by the time I hit North Carolina from Montana, I had 50 letters waiting, and I took all those to the Pentagon. And I had to sneak in the back door of the Pentagon with them. But I got there and I got a letter from the Pentagon. And then I went to the Saudi embassy. And I also had all these letters from U.S. senators. And I just laid them out for the Saudis. And there were all kinds of people in the embassy trying to get over there. And by then there had been a lot of sand kicked in the faces of the Saudis by the press. But they took my letters and went in the back room, and 4 days later I had my visa and was on my way.
All right. We'll be back in a few moments, and we're going to get back here with Barry McWilliams and James Blinn, along with Raquel Thebes and Jeff Circle.
Don't eject just yet. The Veterans Radio Show will reassemble after a short reconnoiter on the Veterans Radio Network.
Around.
You're listening to the Veterans Radio Hour. We're here every Sunday evening. Starting next week, we'll be going on the air at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time until 10 p.m. We do begin streaming on the Internet 20 or 25 minutes before that. And after the show concludes, after the broadcast portion concludes, we normally stay on the air for an additional 15 or 20 minutes to tie up loose ends. So you can have, starting next week, you can have probably 2.5 hours or so of radio enjoyment by listening to us here at the Veterans Radio Hour. It is a live show broadcast every Sunday night from Veterans Center Studios in Downers Grove, Illinois. If you'd like to be in our studio audience, feel free to come by. Tickets are not necessary. We have a nice group of people here this evening. It's a very, very informal, friendly atmosphere, and you'll receive a warm welcome at 4340 Cross Street in Downers Grove, Illinois, which is located just off of the Ogden Avenue exit of Interstate 355. If you need any further directions or information, why don't you give us a call here? You can reach us at 866-928-2329. You can call into the show at that same number, and if you have a question or a comment, and we might even be able to get you on the air if it's something appropriate, 866-928-2329. For business-related calls, if perhaps you're interested in sponsoring the program, you can reach us at 800-591-0020 at the Veterans Radio Hour. We come to you every week at this time at 8 p.m. starting next week, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Let me just briefly mention what tonight's topic is. The program is entitled Veterans Who Write About the Service. We have some excellent guests with us who are providing us with rather interesting information about their books and, in fact, how they have published those books and some of the background that went into the creation of their works. So stay with us here at the Veterans Radio Hour. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. The Veterans Radio Show now continues on the Veterans Radio Network.
We're glad you're with us. We're talking to veterans who write about the service. And just before I get back to our four guests, I'd like to let you know next week's show is going to be quite unique. It's going to be with some individuals who have founded or represent the Veterans Fighting for Veterans show. It's going to include the Veterans Voting Bloc, Veterans for Due Process, and Veterans for Constitutional Law. Stay tuned with us because it'll also be our first show. We've been growing, thank God, and it's going to be our first show 2 hours long. So in between all the commercial breaks, we'll go from 41 minutes of talking and getting taking your phone and your website questions to we'll lead ourselves all the way up to 82 minutes. So stay with us. I'm coming back now to James Blinn. He's a writer who wrote the book, The Aardvark is Ready for War. He was in the U.S. Navy. And can you tell me, James, had you written before, or was that your first book?
Well, it was, I guess that was my first finished novel. I think, like Arthur Miller, I have some trunk novels lying around. He always talked about his trunk plays.
Yeah.
But I'd written short stories, published some short stories, and some dramatic work that a play produced, and some other stuff, been writing for a long, long time, actually. And not making any money at it. But writing, I mean, that counts as writing, right? Even if you don't get a paycheck.
Yeah, you can't write books for money.
Yeah. Are you working on another book now, or have you published anything besides Aardvark?
I've got the second book I just finished last year, and mine and Jeff's mutual agent, Lori Perkins, is out, I hope, hawking that one to publishers as we speak. I think she should be on the horn right now back in New York.
She is working hard, Jane.
Yeah, I hope so.
Well, she's more than likely listening in, I would imagine, too.
I hope so.
Yeah, and then I'm working on book number three right now, or last year. I tend to be slow. It takes me about 5 years to write each book.
And what do you do besides books? What's
well,
your business?
Kind of, talk on radio shows and sit around my house naked.
Very good for you. That's a great profession.
That keeps my life filled.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I would have thought Barry McWilliams would have been that kind of guy.
Like he might be up in the. Are you on the hill naked there, Barry?
Well, no, not out here. You don't get naked out here.
Oh.
Yeah, I've got. Kenny, can I. Two things. Number one, I love the idea. I love the idea of your show next week. On vets for helping vets, and I hope they check into Alaska, where I lived for 7 years and met a lot of vets. And there's like in places there are 40% of the general population are veterans, and half of them are in jail. And I hope they explore that one. Okay.
Okay, I'll see. I'm sure the guy we've got calling in from Washington knows about them as well.
Well, I hope he does, because I got a hold myself of the, this isn't funny, the comic cartoonist, I'm supposed to be funny, but I got a hold of, what do they call those people that go around the world looking for people being, bumped on? You know who I'm talking about. Anyhow, they didn't even know about it, and I just think that Alaska, where we have a great number of war vets, particularly from Vietnam, 20% of the general population and 10% of them are in, 10% of the general population are vets in jail. I just hope something's done. Can I tell you one quick story?
Yep.
This is about the Gulf story that didn't make my book. And I think with the new war news today, I think it's insightful, and I wish I'd put it in the book. It involved the fact that Saudi women can't drive. And the Saudi women saw Americans driving 5-ton, 2.5-ton trucks. And so the Saudi women decided they were going to drive too. And they got their husbands' cars and they drove around at a circle in downtown Riyadh. And they all got busted and put in jail and flogged and beat up, right?
Really?
Yeah, and so the king notified the Americans that American women wouldn't be allowed to drive trucks anymore in Saudi Arabia.
I remember that, Barry.
Yeah. Well, the king, the Americans went along with it. It was politics, probably, but the Americans went along with it. They bought into it. And so what they did is they assigned all the women truck drivers, and we're talking about a lot of them, they assigned them as cooks.
Yeah,
I bet the American women love that. And they took American male cooks and made them truck drivers. Well, guess what? The truck drivers, the male truck drivers who were formerly cooks, started crashing. They didn't know how to drive in convoy. They were running over people. Well, they were running over themselves. They were crashing into each other.
Well, how was the food? How'd the food come out?
Well, guess who didn't want to eat the food, right? Huh? It was the American. You know, these women were pissed, right? I mean, really pissed.
Well, Barry, why didn't that end up in your book?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't. Well, that's a good question, but I got to tell you the punchline. And that's when the king got on. The Americans finally said, we've had it. The American females have to drive. And the king got on television in front of God and everybody. And the king said, the king of Saudi Arabia got on TV. I was there when he got on. And he said, henceforth, all American females are male. And it solved the problem. It solved the problem.
The power of royalty.
It was like the Pope. It was as if the Pope got up and said, Domini, 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 you're all Catholics, right?
Yeah, I think some of the audience just turned.
Well, I think this points up more than anything. When I came back, I realized that we're never going to solve that problem over there. In our lifetimes, we won't solve the cultural dilemma over there. I mean, we're not going to.
Well, in the meantime,
we're too far apart.
In the meantime, Barry, just keep us coming with the tunes about it then.
Yeah, we're going to be back in just a few moments with Raquel Thebes, James Blinn, Barry McWilliams, and Jeff Circle, working on veterans who write about the service. We thank you.
Stay tuned. The Veterans Radio Show will continue on the Veterans Radio Network.
You're listening to the Veterans Radio Hour. We're here every Sunday evening, starting next week, as we've been telling everyone. The program will be a two-hour show rather than 1 hour. We'll be coming on at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time until 10 p.m. So, listening, and just listen a little bit longer. I think you'll enjoy it. It's a worthwhile time to spend. I wanted to mention some of the people behind the scenes here at the Veterans Radio Hour that helped make the show possible, such as Carl King, who is the engineer and production director. Lambert Matias is the studio manager. Mark Eli is webmaster and chatmaster. He's taking a short break this evening, and Tom Rendell is sitting in that slot. Kenny DeCamp is senior producer. Joe Saguski, phone moderator. I'm Fred Cutchins, the internet announcer. Of course, the program was created by Lance Hack. It was inspired by his dad, Ralph Hack, who served in the China-Burma-India Theater during World War II. This evening, Mark DeMin is with us, as he has been for the past several weeks, doing some of his very excellent vocal stylings. Mark specializes in music of the World War II era. Even though he's a young man and was not around at that time, he sure captures the flavor of it, and he sings beautifully, and I think we're all going to enjoy his music this evening on the Veterans Radio Hour. The sponsors of the program include Dallas Corporation for all your printing needs, GIM Productions, websites can do that, Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer, as they say, PB Army ASAP. If you'd like details about sponsoring or becoming a founder of the Veterans Radio Hour, you can reach the business office toll-free at 800-521-0020. If you have a question or comment while the show is in progress, call us toll-free at 866-928-2329. And don't forget to check out the discussion board on the Veterans Radio Hour website. We're very interested in hearing from you. If you have a question or a comment, please feel free to contact us, and we will listen to what you have to say. Stay with us. We'll be back for the final segment, but we will be streaming after the show ends. This is the Veterans Radio Hour.
Welcome back. The Veterans Radio Show now continues on the Veterans Radio Network.
And here we are at veteransradio.com, streaming in over 50 countries worldwide while the show is going on. That's very important to us. Also, some new radio stations that we've picked up: WYEA 1290 AM in Alabama, WACE 730 AM in Massachusetts, WMQM 1600 in Memphis, and KTRW 970 AM in Spokane. My first caller, we're ready to give a $50 gift certificate to the United States Savings Bond if you give me a call at 866-928-2329. That's the first caller to call in. It's yours. James Blinn, coming back to you for a second before I go to Raquel. James, you wrote the Aardvark is ready for war. Give us just a little touch of the Aardvark on that ship.
Well, let me see. The Aardvark was an enlisted naval aviation air crewman aboard the S-3A Viking, which is what I flew, which was kind of one of those wonderful, incredible Cold War pieces of technology that never got used, like all of our ballistic missile silos. You know, so it was designed, if anybody out there is familiar with the P-3 Orion anti-submarine warfare patrol aircraft that's been around since the 50s. It was kind of a carrier-based four-man version of that. What we did was we flew, you know, did close-in protection for the carrier battle group, and we had a belly full of sauna buoys. And we flew out over the ocean and dropped these microphones into the water and listened for those derned Ruski submarines. And that was my job, was to listen for those guys and to identify them via the way they sounded, their prop shafts, and you know, the way their toilets flushed and so forth. So you can always tell a Ruski toilet flushing. You know, they flush backwards. And that's what Aardvark did in the first Gulf War, and part of his dilemma on his way over there on one of our carriers was figuring out what exactly his job was going to be in a war that didn't involve any submarines, which was kind of my dilemma all the time that I was in the Navy, was, well, what am I doing here? We're not allowed to bomb anything. I mean, you know, come on. So that was his thing, and spending time with, you know, it's a long drive over the Persian Gulf. It takes about 30 to 45 days to get there on an aircraft carrier going, you know, 25 knots. So we had lots of time, and, you know, all the media hype. I don't know if we can remember that far back when we thought that Saddam Hussein actually had a viable military. You know, with the Republican guards and super guns and, you know, various kinds of deadly gases and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of paranoia, and Aardvark spends a lot of time worrying about what's going to happen to him over there, and you know, writing what the Navy refers to as the high-value unit, i.e. an aircraft carrier, you know, a prime target and all that kind of stuff. Worries kind of obsesses about his mortality, so spends a lot of time wearing his gas mask and duct taping hatches.
Oh, that's perfect, duct taping. I've had enough of duct tape this year.
We've got a big subject again this year. I mean, I'd like to be in the duct tape business right now.
Raquel, is duct taping at all involved in be smart and be ready for basic training?
Actually, no, not on that level. But once you've been in the Army for a while, yeah, duct tape's pretty important. Yeah.
Yeah, just a bit of trivia here. The aardvark actually is an animal that digs in the ground. It lives in South Africa, and it actually means in Afrikaans, earth pig. So that may be one reason why this gentleman was so busy trying to hide in various places he could dig into on the ship.
Very good. Thank you.
And James, you knew that, of course.
Well, yes.
Jeff, in writing of your book, I guess the hardest thing right now, because we should get back to it just for a second, is getting it published. What's happening? Because as James was talking about, you guys are using a similar agent to help.
Yeah, Lori Perkins is a is an agent in New York. She's a 20-year veteran of literary agency, and if Lori takes your book, it's a pretty much hopefully a published book right now. But it's been a real challenge getting it promoted, and it's a challenge.
Okay, you've been listening to the Veterans Radio Hour. We're going to go off of some of our radio airwaves right now. We're going to keep streaming. And as we do, I'd like to bring out our friend Mark DeMin. He's been helping us end our shows lately. He's that velvet vocalist that comes in and sings for us and does some songs. This one is going out to our World War II veterans and Tom Jordanian and his wife for their last 51st wedding anniversary.
Night and day, you are the one. Only you 'neath the moon or under the sun. Whether near to me or far, it's no matter, darling, where you are. I think of you day and night, night and day. Why is it so that there's longing for you?
And join us next week for another edition of the Veterans Radio Hour.
Day and night, night and day, under the hide of me, there's an oh such a hungry yearning burning inside of me. And its torment won't be through till you let me spend my life making love to you day and night, night and day. Longing follows wherever I go. In the roaring traffic's boom, in the silence of my lonely room, I think of you day and night, night and day. Such a hungry yearning burning inside of me, and its torment won't be through till you let me spend my life making love to you day and night, night and day.
Man, for our World War II velvet vocalist there, we thank you very much. Old Cole Porter piece, I believe.
Yes, sir, it is.
Going on during those days. And that, as I said, went out to Mr. and Mrs. Jordanian. Tom Jordanian comes and visits us. And today he gave my partner here, the owner of this Veterans Radio Center, Lance Hack, he awarded him a piece of shrapnel from the Battle of the Bulge. Unfortunately, Tom was one of those people that was captured by the Nazis then. He was on one of our first shows, POW show, and I'm sure we'll be doing another POW show soon along the line. Tonight we're doing veterans who write about the service. And on the line with us is Barry McWilliams. He's a cartoonist and writer who was in the Persian Gulf. I know he was also in the service before that, but he apparently went back to the Gulf and did this crazy thing called It Ain't Hell, But You Can See It From Here. And now on up on that mountaintop, what can you see from there, Barry?
I can see a few lights off in the distance.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I understand you live in a cabin.
Yeah. Some people call it a shack.
Yeah. So what was that what you said before,
well,
Tom?
He must be the uni-rider then.
The uni-rider.
It ain't Ted Kaczynski's cabin,
oh,
but you can
no,
see it from
no,
there?
No. Okay. Oh, we got a terrible press on that. Montana did.
Yeah, you sure
did. Was that in Malaysia.
Yeah. All 12 of you?
Yeah. I ran into a big black truck driver, wonderful guy, drove in from North Dakota one time, and he stopped in Miles City, pulled up to the gas pump, and he says to me, "Where are all the people?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I've been driving 150 miles and I haven't seen anybody." And I said, "They all live off the freeway, right?"
Well, you've got, what, four neighbors out there, Barry?
Yeah.
Did they all read your book?
I don't know. they haven't told me. But the publisher gave me 700 copies of the book after it was done and asked me to go out and visit all the units that I had been with. And we're talking like about 60 units in the Persian Gulf. I was with more units than Schwarzkopf was. And I went around and visited the troops after they got back from the Gulf and saw them in their present condition and signed books for the units and the guys that are in the book. And it was the best part of the whole deal, seeing those guys again. Because they fed me. They kept me alive over there, you know.
Hey, Barry, I got a question for you when you get a chance.
Yeah.
Looking at the book, it's very interesting. And in fact, you know, art imitates life. And as Santayana said, those who do not learn from history are condemned to repeat it. There's a lot in this book that's relevant to what's going on now. Have you any plans for going back over?
Jerry, am I going to go back over?
Have you any plans for going back over?
Oh, no. I did my tour. I'm not one of those two or three tour guys, but I did my tour. And if anything, I want to take this book and make it more relevant today.
Sure.
They printed it three times. I've got a few copies left, and that's about it. And I want to redo it because it's I left a lot out.
And I understand that you also are working on some kind of a CD or something that helps to help inspire the youth of today to become cartoonists or become more involved with that?
General Schwarzkopf, God love him, he wrote me back. I sent him a copy of my book. He apparently read it, and he sent me back a personal message, and it just said that it shows something about the indomitable human spirit that even in the darkest moments, we can find humor. And I think that that's what the world is real short on right now, is humor. And things are getting pretty serious right now. We need the humor. And so as many kids as I can teach how to draw and be cartoonists, you bet I'm going to teach them.
That's an excellent, excellent idea. I see here that somewhere I was reading before that General Patton even wrote a little blurb about your book.
Hey, you got it in front of you?
Yeah.
What's the patent blurb there, Barry?
Well, have you got it in front of you? Can you read it? I can't remember.
We're flipping through it.
I've got the book here, but I don't see patent.
Oh, no, it's on the website.
Oh, no wonder.
Yeah, and I've got other cartoonists from the Persian Gulf up on the website, and I encourage people to go there, and particularly Navy guys. There's a guy named Richard Evans who was an outstanding cartoonist on the USS Ranger. I was on a carrier over there, too. I can't believe I got to launch off a carrier. But Evans was great. He was on watch all night long looking for bogeys coming in, and he told me the only thing that could allow him to sleep the next morning when he got off watch at 6 a.m. or at 0600 was to draw a cartoon. And then they'd take his cartoon and they'd put it on the flight plan for the A-6s and the F-14s for the next day.
Uh-huh.
And he said that enabled him to calm down enough after looking for bad guys all night to be able to relax and go to sleep, you know. And he's on the website. Any Navy guy's got to go up and see that, you know.
And that website is?
www.barryscartoons.com /warhorse.
War.
All small letters, /warhorse.
Okay, and Raquel.
One word.
Raquel, what is your website?
Yes, it's www.armybasic.homestead.com.
Mm-hmm. And James, you have one?
Well, I guess I'm web challenged, and I don't actually have one.
James, I have a website.
I got to read James' book.
My mother has a website. I'm the only person I know who doesn't.
And Jeff, your website?
www.jeffcircle.com.
And Barry, a nice simple yes or no. Is General George S. Patton III in your book?
No, he's not. I'm a cartoonist. I never lie. Cartoonists don't lie. We just exaggerate. And I put a quote on my website by him, but I made it up.
You made up this George Patton quote?
Barry, yeah, I've got 14 reviews for my book, and I worked 6 months to get every one of them. I can't believe you.
Jeff, it's so much easier to write.
Creative license. Cartoonists have a certain creative license that we can access.
Well,
yeah.
That's it. I'm going to make one up from you and put it on my list of reviews finally.
Would
to get
you
your,
do that, please?
You bet.
Just for everybody listening out there, you've got to know... This is what he claims that George Patton said. Barry has done me proud. He has the funniest damn book about the Gulf, and it's all due to his winning strategy of attacking apathy in full force. With that son of a bitch cartoonist leading the way, hold him by the nose. Kick him in the ass. I love it. God help me, I do so love it.
That sounds Thanks, like it's George. Right off Thanks. Your resume, Barry.
Thanks, George.
Thanks, George.
Wait, can I ask Barry a question?
Yes, please.
Barry, did you get any blurbs from Robert E. Lee?
Hey, Jay, why didn't you have a blurb on your book from Tom Clancy? I mean, after Hunt for Red October and everything.
Oh, you know, he wanted to blurb it, and I just said, Tom, we're not the same caliber, you know? If you work a little harder, you know, get your prose down, you know, then we'll talk about it.
Get your names on the same sheet of paper someday.
Yeah, and, you know, if you give me a big check.
Well, I tell you, I want to read Raquel's book, and I want to read James' book as soon as I can, as soon as I get off this hill.
Let's all swap.
Hey, Barry, I got an idea for you, too. You know, the George S. Patton III you referred to actually is still alive. He's the son of the general, the World War II general, and you might be able to send him a copy of your book, and he might actually send you a note back, but at least you wouldn't be like some of our senators and some other authors who were guilty of inventing things or plagiarizing. Not that that's important if there are no people around your cabin.
Hey, Barry, I'll give you a review for your book.
Yes, please do.
Okay, they're on their way. Raquel,
yes.
Do you have any quotes that are real for your book?
Oh, God. You know, I don't even have it in front of me.
Neither do we.
That's great.
No,
Raquel, I'll make one up for you.
You can see some quotes on the website.
Okay, well, I know this has been a very unique show because it's probably the most laughter we've had for one of the Veterans Radio Hours, and I was hoping it would be because of all the tensions and things that are going on today in our world, and next week's show, as I mentioned, we're going to have on the Veterans Voting Bloc, Veterans for Due Process, and Veterans for Constitutional Law, and it's a show that's going to be entitled Veterans Fighting for Veterans because there's so much that's going on today not only over there in the whole world, but right here with especially our veterans, what we need to do. We're trying to get a hold of Bud Day once again to see if he'll come on and tell us what took place on the Supreme Court level where there's hearing his class action suit for 22,000 veterans from the Korean and World War II who've had a lot of trouble just maintaining some of their medical benefits that they had. Tom, want to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, you all have raised something that's really unique, and it's about the way that America goes to war. And in fact, a sense of humor is often present in great amounts, even at the time of the worst danger. I mean, think about Bill Mauldin, the things that you've described about actions on the aircraft carrier. No other army that I'm aware of, maybe the Brits, have that ability to look at themselves and laugh both at themselves and at the enemy.
You bet.
Yeah, you bet. And I think we've got Big Steve on the line with us, who normally comes in during towards the end of our show. He's our military enthusiast out in Washington. Big Steve, you there?
Yes, I am, Kenny. All I want to do is say hello to if he's on the air is Bar Joe from Federal Way, Washington, Kilo Company, 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines, and to Les Tenney. It was our hometown unit at Maywood of B Company, 192nd Tank Battalion, if he's listening in.
And now Les Tenney was an author that we had on during one of the first of our shows that remind me about his book. I think it had to do with
My Hitch in Hell.
My Hitch in Hell.
Yeah, last week he was gone, but he had knew a couple of the Filipinos that you had on the show on there because... I gave him the phone numbers and that. He was probably looking them up, but he might be listening tonight. I'm not sure if he called in, but he lives down in La Jolla, California.
Okay, thanks a lot. Thanks for calling in once again, Steve.
You bet, Kenny.
Question of the week just came in.
Steve, do you happen to have the question of the week, or are you just calling in to kind of gild
him over here? Yeah, I don't have the question of the week, but
I'm sure you
can
think of one
that time if you want.
Well, no, I mean, you call in with a question, then we get a chance to marvel at it and then try to answer it if we can. But
Steve,
make one up.
Make one up real quick.
Like
here.
Barry McWilliams. Just tell him that Patton asked you.
All right, who is the hero of the first battle of the Philippine Sea that came to the aid of Admiral Thomas Kincaid's 7th Fleet?
Oh.
Wait a minute.
Was he a writer?
No, he was an admiral.
Not Halsey.
You're talking, wait a minute now. Came to the aid of Admiral Thomas Kincaid.
C. Kincaid was landing Marines in Saipan.
It was Halsey.
No, it wasn't.
No.
It was Mitcher.
Okay.
Had a task force group that was screening. Halsey took the whole task force groups and sank 8 Jap destroyers, and a whole Jap fleet came up the slot. It was Mark Andrew, Pete Mitcher that saved the day for the 7th Fleet with one task force group, the Bonham Richard, 4 cruisers and 8 destroyers.
Hey, Steve, what was the big air battle that went along with the Philippine Sea known as?
Oh, God. Well, is it the Battle of the Philippine Sea?
That was a Great Mariana's Turkey Shoot.
That was 1943. That was the year before.
Must have been over the same territory then, huh?
Yeah, right.
Okay, these two guys are going to write a book about that great big sea over there.
And we'll get a blurb for them.
Anyway, we're going to go around the table one more time to see if we get a couple last words. Raquel, if you could just tell us what you'd like to end off with to help people understand not only about basic training, but about what's happening today in your own life.
Well, basically, you know, don't go into it blind. I have a lot of people interested in basic training who are just now researching what they want to get into. I mean, it's your life. You can't get yourself pushed into something like that. You need to research it beforehand. And today with the internet, there's so many resources out there, websites, books in general on things in the military.
So maybe what we should do is I'll get General Grains to talk to the DOD, and your book should be in everybody's packet when they first get to basic training.
Actually, there are some recruiting stations that do use it for their recruits.
Excellent. I'm glad that's happening.
Yeah.
And how about you, James? Can you tell us a little bit about what's next?
What's next for me?
Exactly.
Oh, well, I've got to trying to stay alive as a novelist, which is a tough thing to do in our culture at this time. And, you know, I'm writing book number 3, and we'll see if we can make it fly.
Is it military-oriented in any way?
No.
No.
No. No. I think the aardvark was pretty much everything the military was kind enough to supply me in 9 years. I think I pretty much distilled everything into that book, so I'm moving off to other areas now.
Uh-huh. And, Barry, why don't you tell us a little bit more, and we'll say goodnight to you as well.
Okay. The powers that be won't let me go back over there after I wrote my book, so I'm going to encourage Jeff Circle to get him over there.
Thanks a lot.
And then he could just email you what's happening, and you could write draw cartoons.
Oh, Jeff is such a funny guy. He's a funny guy and a bright guy, and I want him to go in there and do the job.
Well, we'd make a good team, Barry.
Thank you.
I have to break in here and just announce that a panel of independent judges, plus the Veterans Radio, our pit orchestra, has now decided that, in fact, the Marianas turkey shoot did occur in 1944 and was conjunctive with the Battle of the Philippine Sea. So, Big Steve, even though you're not on the phone, we happen to have the last word here tonight. Good luck next week.
Exactly.
Does he lose the $50?
No, the $50 gift certificate, I mean, a U.S. savings bond actually came in from a caller in Alabama, and his name was Duck, Joe Duck, right? Yeah, Joe Duck. Yeah, that's good, Alabama man. We've got Jay Greeley on the line. He calls in every now and then to say hello to us as well. Let's see what Jay has to ask. You want to put Jay up? Jay, you there with us?
Oh, sure. How are you?
Okay, good guy. You've been enjoying this show. You want any questions to any of our authors here?
Well, I'll tell you what. I thought that was a great book about BASIC. I can't wait to get a chance to review that because, I'll tell you, I just sent my son down to BASIC a year or two ago. He's in the Virginia Guard, and a lot has changed. They really are doing a good job with them. My niece was there at the same time. She's in the reserves, and she's already deployed with the 101st.
And we're at Fort Leonard Wood?
She's at Fort Campbell right now, getting ready to deploy.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I took mine at Fort Campbell. Raquel, where was your basic training?
At Fort Leonard Wood.
It was Leonard Wood.
Yeah. Now, my son went to Leavenworth for 88 Mike School. We went out there and picked him up.
Mm-hmm. And James Blinn, where was your basic training?
Well, I got to spend some time in Chicago at Great Mistakes.
Oh, great.
We used to call it
Great
Mistakes.
Great Mistakes. Well, we recently had on the new admiral. Do you know who the new admiral is at the Great Lakes Naval Training Center? Her name, that's right, the first female, Admiral Ann Randau, has now become the commander of it, and quite a unique lady. We had a good time talking with her about what some of the changes are and what they are doing there.
Well, I tell you, the greatest thing about Great Lakes was the only time I've been to Chicago, actually, was that I did it during Christmas and New Year's, and O'Hare was closed because of the storm. I'd never seen snow in my life.
This is 67?
That was 78.
Okay.
and so I had to spend, like, 2 weeks waiting to get out of Chicago, and I spent it at the Drake Hotel and the Playboy Club.
They
had military rates. You could stay there for $20 a night.
Military rates at the Playboy Club.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad thing. And the Drake ain't bad either.
And Barry McWilliams, where was your basic?
Fort Ord, California.
Oh, that was a nice one, too.
And Jeff? Well, it'd be Fort Leonard Wood, which we used to call Little Korea.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that before. And Jeff?
Fort Dix, New Jersey.
Oh, yeah. I was at Fort Monmouth for a while. Jay Greeley, where did you take yours?
I had it at Fort Riley, Kansas. Mm. Nothing prettier than Kansas in the summertime.
Mm.
I got there about 220 pounds, and I was down to 205 before they gave me my flight physical.
Very, very good. Ed, Tom, what about you? You took your basic where?
Fort Knox.
Fort Knox. Okay, the golden man here. Well, I want to thank all of our people for being with us today. You writers, you individuals, you special veterans that have been involved with us, we want to thank you tonight. The Veterans Radio Hour and all the people that have been listening and tuning in, and I know our live audience wants to be able to thank you all. So once again, the best to all of you, and we'll be seeing you from the veteransradiohour.com. Keep plugging in. Remember, 2 hours beginning next week from 8 to 10 Central Standard Time, and we'll be going.